Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, and welcome to the Hall of Fame podcast. Today we're going to talk to the brilliant Penny Martin, editor-in-chief of The Gentlewoman.
Oh, is that Anna?
Hi, Penny Martin.
Nice to speak to you.
Okay, so let's start. You grew up in a university town called St. Andrews.
Yeah, most people know it as the place where Prince William and Kate Middleton are current, well, he's not Prince of Wales quite yet, but part of our royal family met. It's quite a famous university town where they filmed Chariots of Fire, the film sequence where they're running along the beach. As a place to grow up, I was very lucky. You're surrounded by people that are connected to the university. Either their parents work there or there's something to do with education. So it was just a very academic, ambitious, literary kind of a climate to be a teenager. And it wasn't a particularly a shopping culture because it's just a small town. So we were just interested in buying records. We weren't even really that interested in fashion. And as a result, I think it gave you a peculiar education and one that has been very useful to me afterwards.
I read somewhere that you started reading music magazines before you read fashion magazines.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I would get Sounds, now defunct, Melody Maker, which is still, I think, is Melody Maker still hanging on there? And then ME. Anyway, I would definitely get three newspapers a week and I would devour them. And I probably, you know, I worked all weekend so that I'd probably make about £40 so I could buy four albums. So, I mean, it was just completely focused on having a perfect record collection. And I wasn't remotely interested in, you know, buying branded fashion. Certainly you're interested in the style culture that was encouraged by bands that you were listening to, like the Smiths and the Pixies and all that kind of indie music that suggested a particular kind of outlook and politics and style. But I wasn't travelling to Glasgow to buy Catherine Hamnett in the late 80s. I was working on my record collection.
What did you do before you became editor-in-chief of The Gentlewoman?
Well, I was an editor before, but I was an editor of a website, which is very different. I worked for Nick Knight's project Show Studio from 2001 till 2007. So it's very different in the context of the fashion industry, but from the outside, it's actually not very different in that you're still working with writers and photographers. But, you know, obviously there was other additional media on offer. You know, I was working with interactive designers and film and all that sort of thing. Mm. And prior to that, I'd worked in museums. I started off working in the National Museum of Photography, Film and Television in the north of England. And then I came down to London to start a PhD, and I worked in libraries, women's library, but I was a curator of photographs there. So it's always, you know, I began a career in museums and then kind of got diverted into fashion, but actually they're different and they're not very different. You know, from the outside, I think it's a similar kind of activity, curating an exhibition or looking after a collection, from putting together, you know, the kind of the digest of articles that would be in a magazine. Mm. It's just slightly more exacting working in print than it is online.
And then what happened? How did you become...
Well, I came to the end of what I felt I could achieve there, and I was looking around, and it wasn't clear to me what the next step would be. And I was approached at the same time by Kjartan Jok told me that they were interested in setting up a women's version of Fantastic Man, in broad terms, a women's magazine, something in that kind of area. And at the same time, also, I was offered to become a professor at London College of Fashion, which is part of University of the Arts London. Mm. And I did that for a year, and then decided that really wasn't for me. It wasn't quite time for me to go back into academia. And then went back to Gert and Jop and asked them whether they were still interested. And it was 2009. So the kind of recession had already hit, and it was actually quite a kind of choppy time in publishing. It was around the time where a lot of magazines were sort of starting to fold. And it seemed like an incredibly confident, audacious idea to be launching a women's magazine. But they were still interested, and we went ahead. And the rest you know.
Did you have your own vision at that time, or
I think we had an idea of what we wanted it to be. We knew we wanted it to be an intelligent women's magazine that was really high quality, and that sounds very simple. It wasn't like we had a kind of a business plan or a kind of storyboard, but we did have a kind of common visual language. And don't forget, we also had the precedent of Fantastic Man. We knew that women wanted a version of Fantastic Man. We just weren't sure exactly what bits to keep and what bits not to keep. And it wasn't really until we started working on it that became obvious. Fantastic Man is a personality-centered, high-quality biannual magazine that takes a kind of sartorial approach to fashion. And we knew that that was definitely lacking in women's magazines. And then there are a few other things to consider with women's magazines, in that, Fantastic Man obviously was a response to women's publishing. It used the kind of language and the kind of tone of voice of women's publishing to speak to men. That was its kind of very individual offer. So by the time we came to making a women's version of that, it wasn't very clever to use that tone of voice, because that was only the voice that was originally in women's magazines in the kind of 50s and 60s. So we had to kind of create a different voice. That was what was different. But, certainly the Gentlewoman owes a great debt to the original work that was done in formulating Fantastic Man.
What do you mean by intelligent magazine?
That didn't talk to their reader like a dumb consumer. Which sounds like a simple thing to say, but if you really look closely at the way that a lot of women's magazines and fashion magazines and style magazines talk to you now, it's not a question of whether you're interested in buying shoes, it's going to be which shoe you're going to buy, it just felt that the whole universe of women's magazines had kind of become very narrow in like the last 5-10 years. The magazines have become incredibly commercial. I don't necessarily mean looking, but I just mean really product driven, and PRs and fashion companies have got a great deal of control. And it wasn't a question of kind of setting something up to kind of buck the system per se, but I think it was just to have a slightly wider horizons and be interested in different kind of women than the five women that, five celebrities or five fashion people that we're told that, you should have on a women's magazine to sell it. So it was a question of maybe having one part.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Fashion, in terms of the subjects, the interviews, one part fashion to kind of five parts other things, and thinking about what they would be. I mean, that's not so pioneering. Of course, that was a discipline and a formula that's been present in women's magazines like since the 18th century. It's just that I think people hadn't really noticed how radically they'd changed. So, you know, it's just a question of looking at women in other fields, whether it's politics or, you know, science or, you know, all the other things that should be obvious. It's just that they're not present in women's magazines. And then, you know, treating women respectfully in terms of the way that you not only interview them, so it's not just half-page press release interviews, but, you know, actually making a kind of opportunity to hear what they have to say and what they want to do. And if you really talk to a lot of modern women of purpose, you know, if that's what you think we feature, a lot of them want to talk about their work. So it's a question of kind of trying to think about a way to find an exciting and interesting and captivating way to give women an opportunity to be taken seriously, because that's what we found they want first off, and then bring in the kind of frivolity and the humor afterwards. I think, you know, it's, when you're trying to entice a kind of serious woman to be involved in a magazine, it's surprising how much you have to encourage them, because they're quite suspicious about what you're going to do, the way that you're going to photograph them, if you're going to trivialize them, if they're going to be allowed to wear their own clothes, you know, if they're going to be photographed in a sexualized way. They're quite scared of being undermined by a women's magazine. So, you know, I have to win quite a lot of trust. And then, you know, make them feel that it's worth their time to be interviewed for a 4,000-word article, which is going to be, you know, a huge amount of time for them. So, you know, it's about proving that we're a capable set of hands. And so to explain what I mean by intelligence, I just mean treating the subjects respectfully. And I don't think you'd find many editors that would say that they're not intelligent and they don't treat women respectfully, but we just feel that there's a kind of extra dimension that's necessary to represent women respectfully in comparison with the way that many magazines do.
You kind of already answered this question, but the Gentlewoman have a slightly more academic and serious tone of voice than...
You think it's academic, really? We had to start quite dry. I think to make sure that it was clear that our position was different, we had to make sure we had a different tone from other women's magazines, which are kind of quite... effervescent and euphoric and, you know, relentlessly upbeat. I don't mean that ours needed to sound depressing by comparison, but we certainly needed to find a much more straight-talking, kind of deadpan kind of voice. And then, as I said, we needed a slightly different voice from Fantastic Man.
Yeah, exactly. Because is it a bigger risk for women's magazine to use humour or to be funny?
Well, you know, of course, every... serious woman is battling with the kind of, the kind of way that is so lightly thrown that women aren't funny, you know, on one hand by kind of certain kinds of men. And then, you know, secondly, that, you know, if you venture anywhere near a question of feminism, you know, which obviously, you know, we're asked about a lot, about whether it's a feminist magazine, you know, that whole idea about, you know, you feminists, you've got no sense of humour. It's a very difficult, you know, feminism isn't very funny, is it? And I think that it's a question of making sure that women are portrayed with, I think the way to be successful with it is to make sure that women are portrayed with warmth and humour. I don't mean that we make them seem slapstick funny. I think that that can seem amateur, and certainly it can undermine the sophistication of the imagery. I mean, I think Fantastic Man do extremely well, and so did Butt Magazine, obviously, the predecessor of Fantastic Man, using humour. And I think that it needs to be there, but I think you've got to be really careful with it so you don't make people seem foolish.
Why do you believe so much in kindness?
What a funny question. What do you mean?
You talk about this in Gentlewoman, there's a voice, a warm and friendly atmosphere. And
I just think you want the magazine to feel like the kind of you know, coffee morning or dinner party you'd want to throw. You know, you want it to feel like you're amongst the kind of people that, or, you know, as an editor, you just want it to be like a party that you would throw, and the way you would want to treat people and the way you'd want to make them feel. And when I use kindness, it's a bit of a soppy word, but it's just for want of a better word to just describe somebody making them feel welcome. And I mean, that seems obvious, but I don't really feel that welcome in a lot of the company of a lot of the magazines that I read.
No.
I feel a little bit other. A bit like you're not part of some kind of Hollywood star system of people, whether they're editors of other magazines or whether they're writers or whether they're media people or celebrities, but they just don't feel like people that I would know or want to sit down and talk to. And they certainly don't make me feel like they would like to sit down and talk to me. And I think that's your job as an editor. You're meant to be kind of throwing a bit of a party. So you better be a decent host, I think, is all that that comes down to. You know, I meet a lot of these people that read our magazine, and they want to tell me things about it, and they want to suggest people, and they want to come to events, and they want to go to readers' events and pick up the magazine. And I think that if you don't make those people feel welcome, then they don't stay. You know, I'd like the Gentlewoman to evolve into kind of something that's a bit like a club for amazing women, you know, the women that are in it and the women that read it, you know. And if there feels like there's parity, then I think between those people, you know, if you feel that you belong amongst the women that are featured inside the magazine, then that's to do with the voice. And the voice is crucial to making sure that you feel part of it, I think, rather than you may enjoy this cuff or this, you know, or, oh, love the shoes. You know, those are different kinds of kind of fashion voices in certain types of magazines. But,
yeah.
You know, we're not just a fashion magazine. We're a women's magazine. And there are many women that we represent that aren't in fashion. So I don't want fashion to become a kind of tyrannical, sort of hectoring quantity in the magazine. It's one part of reflecting a stylish modern woman, I think.
Who's your dream person to put on the cover right now?
Well, we've got, I could probably pull out a 40-page document of all the people that we want to put in the magazine. I mean, it just gets added to and edited. There's a long list, and then there's a short list, and there's a middle list. You know, there's hundreds of lists. Let me think. Let me tell you some of the people that we always ask and never get. Kate Bush, Hillary Clinton, Barbara Streisand. I mean, there's millions of them.
You have listened to a Hall of Fame podcast, interview by Anna Åkerlund, sound by Patrik Lindén, and music by Anja Bigrell. Please check out the Hall of Fame website at halloffame.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.